All right, if you guys want to start turning to 1 John chapter 4 this morning. That's 1 John. You have the Gospel of John, and then towards the end of your Bible, you've got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So we're in 1 John 4. And I'm not sure how long ago it's been that God started speaking to me about His promises throughout His Word. But with how He's told us that His intention is for us to hear it and recognize it, that He's the one saying it, and that it is absolutely true. It's not something we have to wonder about. It's not something we need to question whether it's true or not. That God has proven time and time again that He is faithful to fulfill His promises. So I'm going to say briefly what John was talking about just before this. And I don't think it was too long ago that we started talking about testing prophecy and listening to the voice of God and discerning whether the spirit that was talking was whether it was God or if it was some other spirit. And so John started this chapter with not trusting every spirit, but to test it to see if it is God or not, to see whether it lines up with God's Word, to see whether it lines up with what Holy Spirit is telling us already. So the them that's being addressed here when we get to it is the spirits of the world. That is the them. The Antichrist spirit that wants to deny Jesus, the Son of God, came as a man to bring redemption and salvation to all mankind. That our victory is over the spirits behind whatever is going on in the world. That they are the ones that are defeated. That they're the ones who are overcome. Remembering that our battle here is a spiritual battle. That we're not frustrated with the people. We're frustrated with the spirit behind what they're doing. That's the them that we're talking about here. So in 1 John 4, starting in verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. But he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So the first thing we look at here is where John says that we are of God, little children. This is a great reminder that we are adopted into the family of God. Now, you think about being called a little child. Sometimes that makes us feel like, well, maybe we're not very mature, that we need to grow up. But sometimes I think that's exactly what I think we need to hear. To remind us that God is continuing to grow us, no matter what. That in the grand scheme of things, there's a whole lot more that God wants to do with our lives. Whether you're 6 or 60, we're all to be like little children with God. Be willing to learn what He's wanting to teach us. What He's wanting to show us. Realizing that there's room for us to grow up still, that the things aren't final yet. And that is because we are of God. So if you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and cross out the word "you" in this verse and put your own name there. This is something that you can do to personalize it. It's okay to write in your Bible. Because sometimes when you're reading in your Bible and you recognize the word "you" and you personalize it and imagine that that's being written straight to you, it just makes it all more powerful. It makes it all the more to realize that God is speaking to us constantly. It takes on a whole new realization that when you see your name, whether you're reading it out loud or if you're just reading it on your own, it makes it all the more powerful. It's one of wonderful things that we are of God. John continues to say here that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We have Holy Spirit in us. We have God Himself living in us. You know, we just sang it this morning. When the King comes in, there's no room for sickness, no room for darkness. Demons flee. So powerful. Sometimes we need to remember and proclaim that when the enemy tries to present himself anyway, that we are of God. So we hear and we recognize the voice of God. That we have the victory already within ourselves. It's not that we're fighting to get the victory. It's that we're operating out of the position of victory. That we have no need to be worried about what the enemy is trying to do to us. That there's no reason to be afraid. God is in us, keeping His promise. In Ephesians 1, starting verse 13, Paul says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." See, we've been sealed with His promise by the Holy Spirit. That He's the authentication that we have that we're God's. That we're confirmed by Holy Spirit that we are God's. Now, I'm not sure about you guys, but I remember back in my college days, I remember writing my name on every tool that I took to college with me. There were only a handful of us who actually brought tools to college with us to fix things and do stuff while we were there. So a lot of people were borrowing them from us. But I wrote my name on them all to make sure that they knew that this was mine, that it belonged to me. And that's what God does with the Holy Spirit. See, He marks us with His Spirit. He makes sure that everybody knows that we are His. There's no use for someone else to try to claim us because we are God's. The Holy Spirit shows us that. Holy Spirit marks us all until God carries us up into glory. That we're marked until the time of redemption. But until then there's no doubt that we are His. Holy Spirit not only identifies us as being of God, but He also confirms that He is more powerful than any other spirit than our God. The false spirits are less effective than the one who is inside of us, Holy Spirit, the one just like Jesus, His paraclete, the exact duplicate. What John is saying here in 1 John is the same that Jesus told us Himself. Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me, and in heaven and in earth.'" It's no accident that Jesus' next words after that was, "Go therefore." See, we have that same power that Jesus has because He's given it to us to take it and go anywhere we go. We're called to go out with His authority, with His power, with His name. After sending the 70 out in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name.' And He said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.' In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. I read all those verses because we see some common things here to what we're seeing in 1 John. That the demons and the evil spirits are subject to the name of Jesus, that we have authority given to us, and these things have been revealed to babes, his little children. God shows us that he wants, that he weaves us all together throughout his word. Am I right? See, it's not just that he knows, it's not just so that we know that we have his authority too. The spirits that are not of God, they know that we have his authority. In Mark 1:27, then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. See, Jesus gave us his authority over all the power of the enemy. It's the same authority that he has, that he's given us. When the enemy hears us speak, he hears Jesus speak. The enemy knows that he must obey. He knows that he must submit to that authority. Back to the text we're here in 1 John 4, in verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is one of the things that I hope we follow and we understand as a church. The spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the enemy, the powers and the principalities of the world, they are not of God. They speak so as to attract the fallen nature of man. They speak in a manner that the world understands, that the world sees popular. I don't get some of the things that people and some of the public figures say in our nation. They make absolutely no sense. Yet some of the people, for whatever reason, they eat it up. They don't see anything wrong with it. But then you look at it and you recognize that it abandons every bit of biblical values, biblical principles that we're called by. We can't rationalize that because our spirit doesn't agree with it. Because the spirit behind that is not the spirit behind what we have. People who follow the world, they're going to embrace the world. They're going to live the way the world lives. There are spirits that are using those people to further their agenda. God loves each of them so much. But he wants them to make a decision for him. He wants them to make a decision that they desire him and not the spirits of the world. He wants that desire to rise up and break off the hold that it has. God meets us so often, though, in our lowest place. More often than not, he will let us hit rock bottom because we know that there's nothing that this world has that really truly fulfills us. And then we recognize that God does fulfill us. People in the world, though, they're going to act like the world. A few months ago on Wednesday nights, we were going through a series with Robert Morris, and he talked about how bakers bake, liars lie, golfers golf, one fitting for this weekend, hunters hunt, and sinners, well, they're going to sin. So when we don't get why somebody acts the way they do, We just have to remember that's not a part of their changed nature yet. That the Spirit at work in them is going to do things contrary to the Spirit of God. We used to have a sin nature, but not anymore. Yes, we may occasionally sin, but that's not a part of our nature the way it was at one point. We can't be the one to change people either. We have to let Holy Spirit be the one to do the changing. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We have to cling to the God things. The world doesn't tell us who we are. We need to recognize that what may look enticing, it may be short-term pleasure, but it's going to be long-term pain. It may be enticing, but it's not going to sustain us. If it's not of God, it doesn't reflect eternal life. We need to be mindful because we don't listen to the world. We turn our focus and we listen for the one who is in us. We don't let the world tell us who we are. There's a song by Charity Gale. She's a part of People in Songs. And the song is called New Name Written Down in Glory. And it's a great song about celebrating how we're a new creation. And the song itself is pretty good, but what really gets to me is when it gets to the bridge. And there's a rhythmic line that goes something like this. It's repeated over and over many times, and it resonates in my spirit, man. And the line basically goes like this. It says, I am who I am, because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. That's something good to tuck away in our memory bank sometimes. Because then we can draw on that and just start telling the enemy, no, that's not who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. We need to tell the enemy that at times. We need to try to speak to him and tell him not to tell us who we are. Because, you know, he tries to tell us that we're not good enough. That we're not forgiven. That we're fake. That we're a phony. That we're not being real. There was never really any change in us. No, my faith in Jesus is stronger than that. He's the one who tells me who I am now. Yeah, some of those things, that might have been who I used to be, but that's not who I am anymore. Because we hear things from Holy Spirit saying, no, you're my son. You're my daughter. He might bring a brother and sister in our path that has an encouraging word. Holy Spirit will remind us of key scripture in that time of need. Something that will comfort us, encourage us. We're reminded by God of those God things, those encouraging things. Not the tearing down things, but the encouraging ones. Reflecting the love of God. Something he reflects of the nature of the Spirit in us. bringing it all together, and you're not going to have these verses, Addison, but it's out of the New Living Translation, these three verses that we just went through, starting verse 4, where it says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them, but we belong to God. And those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they don't listen to us. That's how we know if someone has a spirit of truth or the spirit of deception." See, all these promises that God gives us builds our faith. It's one of the things with knowing the spirit of truth is that we recognize what is good for our spirit man. It's good that we recognize how we already have the victory. Not because of how we fight it, but because of who we have inside of us. I've used that promise to tell the enemy he's not welcome. So I start to see his tactics start presenting himself. And I say, you ain't getting this upper hand. I recognize you, I bind you, I tell you to go. I already have the victory because I have Holy Spirit right here with me. Because I'm covered by Jesus' blood. You must go. John brings us all together in starting at verse 7 with something that John talks about quite often. Love. Starting in verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Amen. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we had loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another." Our love is what the telltale sign that the Holy Spirit is prominent. Everything we do should be out of love. It should be out of the position of love. When you correct, it's out of a place of love. When you help, you do it with love. It's never for recognition, but we do it because we love that person. There's a good reason for that love, too. Because God did everything He did out of love. Jesus was sent into the world out of love. He was sent to the cross in love. He took our sins in love. He rose from the grave in love. And He sent His Spirit to us in love. So yeah, God is a God of love. Everything He does is with love. So likewise, when we have the One who is love in us, everything we do should be with love. You've heard a saying that every tree is known by its fruit, and that's very true. Apple trees produce apples, pear trees produce pears, walnut trees produce walnuts. So if we're of God, and He is love, and He saved us because of His love, we will produce love. There's a reason that love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. In the book of John, John records Jesus saying in John 13:35, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Notice that he doesn't say by our signs and wonders and miracles that we'll be known as his disciples, or by our prophetic voice that we'll be known as his disciples. He said, by our love, we will be known as his disciples. Yes, all those others will flow. It's an important part of who we are in him, but they're all done out of love. So if we are known by our love for one another, because out of our love, everything else will flow. Out of our love, we'll have a desire to fill a need, that we'll want to help others, that we'll want to give back, that we'll want to serve. We have to love on this world. We should be the ones to shape it, to govern it, not to let the enemy be the one. We can't let the enemy shape us or shape the sphere that we're called to influence. The world that we're in right now is shaped by the powers and the principalities and the spirit behind them. It's one of those, you guys have heard the saying that nature abhors a vacuum. And here's a line from Mark Berkler that taught one of the semesters of my courses went through for schooling. He says, there are no vacuums in the spiritual world. What is not filled with divine faith is quickly filled with demonic fear. You're either going to have light or you're going to have darkness. And fear is one of the biggest substitutes for love. Fear is straight up demonic. It comes in and tries to get you to not pay attention to God, to get your focus completely off of God himself, to ignore the fact that God is right there with you, that he's inside of you at that very moment. One more verse that John says here in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Remember, perfect love casts out fear. It's important for us to remember that. God's perfect love casts out fear. When we start to fear man or disease, remember about God's love. Focus on God's perfect love. The enemy, he wants to torment us with fear. But God wants to embrace us with his love. I know the enemy tries to be loud when he comes at us with fear too. But God is right there with us, just wanting us to turn to him instead, to run to him, even though your feet don't even have to move. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We have overcome the enemy. Whatever attack the enemy has at hand, we have the victory. Because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you that we operate out of a position of victory, God. Lord, that we operate with you inside of us, God. Lord, help us recognize your presence. Help us be aware of you being right there with us. Lord, we thank you that you are not far from us at all, God. Lord, that you are there even in our whispers, God. Lord, you are there just wanting us to run straight to you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for equipping us for this time, God. Lord, we thank you for your authority. We thank you that the enemy must submit to your voice, God. Lord, we thank you that you are already doing what you have said you're going to do. Lord, we thank you for your promises. We praise you, God, for what you're doing. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.